All right, we are at the Grand Hotel where this conference takes place today and tomorrow. Wrap things up on Friday. Joining us right now is the president of Lake Carriers Association, James Weekly. Jim, good morning. Remind us what Lake Carriers Association is.
So Lake Carriers has been around since 1880. We're one of the oldest, if not the oldest, trade association in the U.S. Represent 13 U.S. flag companies. Mm-hmm. All moving iron ore, coal, and limestone on the Great Lakes. U.S. flag, domestic.
When we talk about companies on the Great Lakes, Steamship Company is maybe the biggest, and they're building a new boat this year.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's the first ship built in over 35 years. So we've had tug barges built, and it's kind of a surprise design in some ways. It's got a forward boom. It's smaller. It's not a 1,000-footer. Not speaking for Lake, but my guess is it's because it's got some niche market cargoes that it's going to fill. It'll be small enough to go out the seaway so we can compete a little better with some of the Canadian carriers. And it's exciting times. We're investing a lot of money industry-wide, yeah. And Interlake sees the business. I always say cargo is king. It's kind of what I call the chicken and the pig, right? The chicken is committed to breakfast, but the chicken is associated, but that pig right. is committed, right? You need cargo to build a ship, so they must have some longer-term commitments.
I guess so. What kind of cargo is moving on the Great Lakes these days?
Well, primarily our big three are iron ore, coal, and limestone. Yep. We move a little bit of cement, some sand and some gravel, some salt. But our really kind of our bread and butter are iron ore, coal, and limestone.
How are tariffs playing into the ability to move that stuff around?
So to be honest, it's been helpful. You know, the iron ore business is up. I think the last I saw, steel capacity is 80%. It was down around 60%. It could easily be 90-95%. Steel mills are more profitable when they're at the higher end of the efficiency. Mm-hmm. So it's been good for us. It's been good for our customers. And what's good for our customers, we're very supportive of.
Right.
You mentioned coal as being one of the big commodities that's carried on the lakes. Obviously, with a lot of power generation switching over to renewables or other sources, what does that mean for the Lake Carriers losing that cargo?
Fair point, and particularly if you look at Ontario, we used to move a lot of coal into Ontario, and Ontario now is coal free. So we were moving 20 million tons a year. Now we're down around 11 million tons a year. So a downward trend. At some point, I think it'll steady out until the natural gas prices continue the declination of coal. So it's not just an environmental reduction in coal consumption, it's also an economic engine that's moving the electrical production from coal to natural gas.
You talked about that new ship that's up on that's going to be built by Interlake, and that's what, the first in 30 years or
I think
so?
It's 35 years, yes sir.
And the reason why it's taken so long is mostly because of the cabotage laws, because it has to be built and crewed. Kind of remind us how that works.
It's called the Jones Act. It's the current iteration, but really the concept of cabotage in the United States goes back to the founding fathers, to the 1790s. I think it was the second act passed by the Continental Congress. And cabotage is a French term. It means between the capes. So any cargo moved between U.S. ports has to be on a ship that's American-owned, American-built, and American-crewed. And if you look at even Adam Smith, the founder of economics, he said that the one thing that was not in the realm of the free hand of the market was shipping. He recognized the importance of a maritime nation to England and how that built England's wealth. I'm a firm believer in cabotage. If it wasn't for cabotage, our Navy wouldn't be able to build ships as efficiently as we do. If you look at Canada recently did away with their build requirement. So Canada's having to reconstitute bankrupt shipyards in order to build Coast Guard cutters or Navy vessels. We have a very robust shipbuilding capability. And in fact, if you look at the history of the world, no nation who has ever had maritime supremacy and lost it has ever regained it. Mm. And we really won it in World War II.
Yeah.
And to cede that to the Chinese or the Russians would really upset the world order.
Talking with Jim Weekly, the president of Lake Carriers Association, one of the big topics here at this conference on Mackinac Island this week is infrastructure. And when we hear infrastructure, we think roads and bridges and potholes and all that fun stuff. But the Great Lakes has infrastructure, too, not the least of which is the Sioux Locks.
Amen. I always say life ain't easy for a lock named Sioux. Shout out to my Johnny Cash fans out there.
We did get word last year that the president supports funding it. Congress has kicked in some funding.
So the president mentioned it first time at Washington Township at the rally, and I think he's mentioned it four times since then. And if you look at the tremendous progress in the past year, and again, credit due to Congressman Bergman, Congressman Mitchell, and Congressman Molinar, all who, you know, were in the limousine with the president, mentioned it, the Sioux Locks. Since that mention from the president's commitment to fix the problem, the Corps has come out with their BCR ratio. It went from 0.73 to 2.42, and I believe it could have been higher. It could have easily been a 6, but it only needs to be above 2.5 to be in the ball game, and we're there. We're there. And, again, we've gotten some good congressional language and report language that says that national security interests should be taken into account. So I am not an optimist by nature, but I firmly believe we are past the tipping point. The president put $75.3 million in his budget. It was recently approved by the House of Representatives. Marcy Kaptur is the chairwoman, a Democrat of the Appropriations Committee, a big supporter of the project. So it's going to happen. Governor Snyder chipped in some Michigan money. I haven't talked to the current governor, but I understand she's a supporter as well. I'm meeting with some of her staff later today to discuss the Sioux. You know, I'm excited. You can hear the excitement in my voice. I've been working this for 10 years, arguing with the Corps on a BCR, and I think we're there. I think we're past the tipping point. Something that people talk about is user fees, you know. People wonder why there's not a user fee on the lock. Well, there's two reasons. I talked about the legal reason and the moral reason. The legal reason is that the deed transferring the property in 1855 from Michigan to the federal government specifically prohibited user fees. Mm-hmm. So that's the legal reason. The moral reason is we already pay a user fee. So asking us to pay an additional user fee would be like asking somebody that gets Social Security to pay a user fee to get their Social Security. So what do I mean by that? There's the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. For every $1 million of cargo moved, we pay $12,500 in a user fee. Mm-hmm. And that has a $9 billion surplus. So, you know, to put a user fee on top of a user fee just doesn't make sense. Yeah.
How about the ports of the Great Lakes? Are there ports that need some infrastructure upgrades as well?
Yes, sir. So if you look at dredging, and we've come a long way out from the dredging crisis, and people lose sight of the fact that higher water levels do mask the problem, but the channels still need to be dredged. Region-wide, there's about 3.3 million cubic yards of sediment that's deposited, so we need to make sure we get that out of the channels. And also look at your piers and your break walls. They're still deteriorating. The Corps was on a 400-year recapitalization rate, right? So they have 200 years of, or 200 miles right. of break wall, and they were fixing a quarter mile a year. So again, you know, we've pushed for access to the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, and that's starting to get fixed as well. So lots of infrastructure needs, lots of opportunities, and you know, jobs matter, and that's putting good people to work, making a what we call a family-sustaining wage.
You mentioned the higher water levels. Obviously, that's causing problems for people that live on the water. Does it cause any concerns or adjustments for shipping?
It does. So what we've asked our captains to do is slow down, right? It's a displacement problem as well as a wake problem. So we don't want to hurt anybody's private property. So we've asked them to voluntarily slow down, and for the most part, that's happening. Similar challenges with recreational boaters. They'll go in a little bit too fast, a little bit too close, and that can cause problems.
Yeah, that's a big issue, especially in, you know, Port Huron, where we've got all kinds of boats.
Parsons Islands is a big problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got jet skis and kayaks and freighters and sailboats all trying to share the water space. It can be challenging.
Agreed. And, you know, particularly going upriver, we have to maintain what we call bare steerage, right? So you have to have a certain amount of water flow over the rudder so you can maneuver safely.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's to a good, safe summer for recreational boaters and shipping as well. Jim, we always appreciate your time. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to it every year, sir.
Well, we'll do it again next year.
Thank you.
Jim, I'll see you on the ferry next year.
we rode over on the way.
The president of Lake Carriers Association, Jim Weekly on WPHL.